Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fasta Mai, good evening. Welcome to the first update of 2026, where we'll take you through the main news of the day, which, as you might imagine, today has been dominated by the weather. With schools closed, children have had an extra day's holiday, but there has been widespread travel disruption. The airport's been shut all day, several roads impassable as well. We're going to be joined live by the Infrastructure Minister and the Interim Airport Director in the next few minutes to get the very latest. But the weather has not put off one hardy Manx fundraiser today. Adam Horsey is nearing the end of an ultra marathon on Douglas Promenade. We'll hear from him a little bit later on. We'll also have the very latest weather reports and the traffic as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can text the studio on 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Lewis Fastamai.
Fastamai. While some parts of the island are starting to thaw out, others are seeing more wintry showers after a day of disruption to travel. Widespread snow and ice has seen students kept off school and Ronald's Way Airport closed. The mountain road is also remaining closed until tomorrow, though the route from Hilbury to the Cregna Bar has reopened, so too has the Cregna Bar back road. Bus Vanin says it's had reports of wintry showers in the south of the island, and with temperatures set to drop again after 6 o'clock, roads in some housing estates are expected to become impassable for buses. The Chief Minister says he doesn't believe there's a flaw in accountability when it comes to decisions taken by government ministers. A survey of Manx Radio listeners identified government accountability as one of the top issues for this year's House of Keys general election. And Diane Taylor, whose long campaign for change to the island's organ donation system in memory of her son Daniel Boyd, says she was emotional and proud seeing a new bill come into force. The Human Tissue and Organ Donation Act came into force on the 1st of January, moving the island to an opt-out system. The latest international news, Venezuela's president is due before a court in New York on various drugs and weapons charges. Over the weekend, Nicolas Maduro and his wife were removed from the country by the US military. Meanwhile, the UK Prime Minister's siding with his Danish counterpart over Donald Trump's threats to annex Greenland. Sir Keir Starmer says it's for the island's population and Denmark to decide their future. The US president suggested he could intervene in more countries after capturing Venezuela's leader. And in sport, Celtic have sacked manager Wilfred Nancy after just 36 days at the club. It comes just hours after Manchester United ended Ruben Amorim's 14-month tenure at Old Trafford after appearing to criticise the owners following their 1-1 draw at Leeds yesterday. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with the news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Lewis. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So we've got this yellow weather warning that's been extended until midday tomorrow. There has been some snow melt in those areas which have seen sunshine today. Road surface temperatures recovering a little bit as well. But there are going to be clear skies tonight. So road surface temperatures are going to quickly fall below zeroing before freezing across the island towards dusk. So there will be some difficult driving conditions. Any remaining snow cover and slushy deposits freezing with widespread icy stretches forming on untreated surfaces. So generally, a few wintry showers continuing to affect the south of the island this evening, but those clear skies allowing that ice to form widely on untreated surfaces. There is going to be some patchy rain later in the night, minimum temperatures around -1. And then tomorrow, it's going to be breezy, a fresh to strong west to southwest wind. Patchy outbreaks of rain developing during the afternoon. They might be sore, I don't know. Temperatures around 7 Celsius at best tomorrow.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
For me, the law change, what it will do is it will encourage people. The government isn't saying they own your organs. They're asking you to make your own decision.
That is Diane Taylor. We're going to hear from Diane Taylor a little bit later about the change to the organ donation law that we've been hearing about in the news just now. It is 4 minutes past 5. And as we've heard, the first normal working day of 2026 didn't really quite go to plan, did it? Snow and ice causing widespread disruption across the island. Schools closed. The airport has been shut all day. Some roads, including the mountains, staying closed until at least midday tomorrow. Well, we're joined on the line now by the Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Hayward. Good evening, Minister Hayward. Questions often asked in this sort of situation about how gritting decisions are made when we have weather events like this. Just remind us first what the protocol is when it comes to prioritising which routes stay open.
So we prioritise the north-south routes and the routes that get people to the hospitals and connect our emergency services to our communities. The gritting team yesterday were mostly focused on the north because obviously that's where the snowfall was through yesterday afternoon, and they worked until 2:30 this morning. And then another shift took over and they were back on. But there was this kind of almost unforecast snow that came in between 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning that hit a band across the south of the island in a really concerted way. That they weren't roads that we were focused on at that time, and so you know everything was redirected then to try and deal with the issues that that had caused.
The impact of island-wide school closures is obviously significant. So, Minister, how confident are you that everything possible was done to avoid that this morning from your department's point of view?
So from my department's point of view, obviously we don't take the decision to close schools, but we do have to take decisions across a number of areas about what the roads are like and where we've gritted. But we also take decisions over the bus service, and meetings happened yesterday to discuss what conditions were expected to be like. Meetings happened again very early this morning as well, and the bus service go out and evaluate routes to check that they're safe to send out buses with passengers on, and the decision was taken by the bus managers not to send the buses out this morning because the conditions were just not safe enough.
Now, I mentioned the airport closure. We are also joined now by the Interim Airport Director, Jeff Pugh. Mr. Pugh, there has been significant disruption over the past few days at the airport, people making comparisons to other jurisdictions. Would you just tell us what the process is when this sort of weather is forecast to keep the runways clear, first of all?
Oh, good afternoon, Beth. Yes, the process is quite complicated. We take advice from the Met Office. We are engaged in many of the meetings that the Minister was talking about across government, and we also discuss internally within the airport how that weather and those impacts are likely to affect the airport directly. And of course, we maintain communications with other airports and indeed the airlines and operators. And so over the weekend, we were affected by the very cold temperatures and ice, and that was slightly different because we didn't see any snow, but the ice itself, which is one of the more difficult things to tackle with the chemical treatments that are available to us. But then obviously this morning we've seen the added complexity of snow and hail that has settled. And this morning we had about 2.5 centimetres of snow and still very persistent cold temperatures throughout the day. And that's what's caused the issues.
You mentioned those chemical treatments. Now, I understand there is de-icing fluid and anti-icing fluid, which is used by airports. Would you be able to briefly tell us what the difference is and also just reassure us that the Isle of Man Airport has enough of both of those?
Sure. So those two terms are used interchangeably. We have two chemical compounds that we use by the airport directly, and also Menzies, the ground handling agent, have a separate system which is used to de-ice the aircraft. That's not controlled directly by the airport. The two that are available to us at the airport, we use those on the aerodrome surfaces, the runways, taxiways, and the apron. One is a fluid chemical treatment, which is a potassium acetate based solution that's used on the runways and taxiways. And we can do that in advance of the poor weather, and we can also add it on top of it. Its effectiveness obviously is much better if we can get it down on dry ground. And the issue that we had on Friday and Saturday is that there was a lot of surface water caused by the hail and the rain. And of course, these chemical treatments can be washed away in those circumstances. And when that treatment is put down on top of snow and or ice, it's not as effective. It will work, but it takes some time for it to have its effect. The other treatment that's available, which we use in and around the apron and the aircraft stands, is a pellet, a solid pellet, which is a sodium acetate based material. And the reason why we use that as a pellet is because the spreaders that are used to put the chemical treatment down on the aprons and taxiways are dispensed using large spray bars that are attached to our tractor units, and those can't get into the nooks and crannies around the aprons, so those can be spread by hand if necessary.
And this acetate that you're talking about, the potassium acetate, is that the more environmentally friendly fluid that's used, which isn't perhaps known to be as good as what was used previously?
Yeah, so more generally, the way in which airports treat snow and ice has changed significantly over several decades. When I first started in aviation, there were products that were products called Consin and urea. And when I talk about urea, I'm talking about urine-based products. And those obviously degrade into ammonia and are a big no-no from an environmental perspective now. So most airports across the world, and certainly in the UK, have moved to more environmentally based products. It is true that those are not as effective. The old products, environmentally damaging though they were immensely effective at clearing snow and ice and preventing it from settling in the first place. But of course, we are right next to the Derby Haven Marine Nature Reserve. We do have to be conscious about all of our activities and how they interact with the environment. And that's the same at many airfields and aerodromes across the UK. So the compounds that we use are effective. They are not as effective as the ones that people may remember if they've been involved in aviation back through the decades, but they are effective. They just take a little bit longer, and we have to carefully plan how and when we're going to put them down. In terms of stock levels, we maintain just in excess of about 20,000 litres usually. We will reorder when we get to about 15,000 litres, but of course, these cold snaps do come in series of 3, 4, 5 days at a time. So we can work our way through those stocks quite quickly. And we have reordered, and we're hopefully getting a new order of stock later this week. And we're down to, I think, about 6,000 litres at the moment. But which is
that's enough to take us through the next couple of days, is it?
Yes, well, in our snow and ice clearance procedures, we do, of course, have a prioritisation system. If we are putting that fluid down across the entirety of the aerodrome surfaces, we will use quite a lot of that quite quickly. So when we do start to run lower, we start to prioritise those routes, the runway and some of the taxiways, so that we can continue to operate aircraft and the emergency services. But we will selectively not treat some surfaces that are not as important, and we can get the application required down to about 2,000 litres at a time. So we do still have some that's left for another couple of days, and then hopefully we'll be restocked this week.
But that's not the reason that the airport was shut all day today, because we've run out?
No, that's because of the large amount of snow that settled overnight to the aerodrome surface. We've seen those temperatures remained quite low this morning, and the snow was left. It's mechanically clear because we've got snow plows and snow brushes. We did mechanically remove the snow apron this morning, and we saw that had a good impact later this afternoon. So we've had the team in again this afternoon, and we've actually mechanically cleared the runway, although just as I was on my way out in the car this afternoon, there was another hailstorm that came through and put another layer down after we'd mechanically cleared it. But the hope with that is that we can get the surface down to a situation where we can add another layer of the chemical treatment, and we're hoping that will put us in the best position to be open tomorrow morning.
Now, someone posted on our Facebook page this morning that they were sat on a flight from Gatwick, and it was the passengers who actually told the cabin crew on that flight that the Isle of Man airport was closed. You mentioned communication with other airports, Mr. Pugh, but I suppose the question is how, at that point in time, were the people who were going to fly those passengers to the Isle of Man unaware that our airport at that point was closed?
Yes, well, we expect and know that airlines obviously aren't relying on social media or the news for those communications. We do have a series of direct communications that we have with the operations teams at various airlines. But the way in which these types of messages are communicated, people may be familiar with the phrase NOTAM, which is a notice to airmen in old terms. There is actually another version of that called a SNOTAM, and another term that people might be learning today. So we did issue a SNOTAM, as all airports do when they are affected by snow and ice conditions. And so the airlines will routinely check those in, as well as the NOTAMs before flying. So I don't know the specific circumstances that led to that airline having that issue this morning on that flight, but we certainly did advise through all of the normal routes and all of the, and including our social media and news outlets, that the airport was closed. So I'm not exactly sure what's gone on there. We'll probably find out in the next day or two when we wash it up.
And I don't know if you know the answer to this question, I guess, but for those people who've decided to go and get the boat home today instead of waiting to see if their flight goes, will they be able to claim any of their costs back?
So normally in these situations, the relevant regulation is the UK 261 regulation, where airlines will compensate in certain circumstances. Obviously, that typically doesn't include what would be called acts of God or natural occurrences, and weather would be included within that. So the best bet is for, if passengers have been individually affected, obviously all the individual circumstances will be individual, but in general, the best advice is for people to contact their airlines and to discuss those circumstances, because UK 261 claims are administered through the airlines and not through the airport.
Minister Hayward, if I can just come back to you, we've got that other yellow weather warning now until midday tomorrow. How are things looking for early tomorrow and things getting back to more normality?
Well, it looks like it's going to be good news for the morning. So the yellow weather warning is in place for ice, and we've got some wintry showers. Might see a couple more yet across the island up until midnight tonight. But by morning, the wind direction is going to change, and there'll be some cloud cover come in as well. So we will start to see a thaw. Things will move up. There should be some milder air coming across us. It won't feel, I'm not allowed to say warmer, but it won't feel quite as cold, apparently. So it may be we see a bit of a slow start in the morning, just as we escape that overnight ice. But conditions should warm up during the day, and that should result in the clearance of most of the lying snow and ice that we've got, certainly down at low levels at the moment.
And just finally, how confident are you that our winter operations match what would be considered best practice elsewhere?
I'm mightily impressed by the team. I've explained to somebody today, you know, between buses and highways and the airport, the DOI has a number of fingers in the weather conditions and the response to it. I need a huge shout out to all the officers who were working all the way across the weekend to deal with the conditions, who've worked overnight, who've started in the early hours this morning, planning and evaluating the data from the Met Office, and they're obviously, you know, they're staffed 24 hours a day, so they're busy pulling the latest forecast runs and providing the best advice they can to not only their DOI colleagues but other government departments as well. And I think, you know, you've seen across the weekend and through today that officers and workers within DOI have absolutely stepped up to being able to respond to this as best we can. We've not managed to keep every road open. We can't keep out some of the smaller estates. We obviously can't get to, but we have tried our very best to keep the island moving as much as we can.
Well, DOI Minister Dr. Michelle Hayward and Interim Airport Director Jeff Pugh, thank you so much for joining us this evening. You're listening to Update. It is 18 and a half minutes past five. And as we all welcomed in 2026 here on the Isle of Man, we also welcomed in a major new piece of legislation. The Human Tissue and Organ Donation Act came into force on the 1st of January, and that means the island is now subject to an opt-out organ donation system. And it brings us into line with the UK, Northern Ireland, Jersey and Guernsey. It's perhaps better known as Daniel's Law and is named in honour of 15-year-old Daniel Boyd, who died following a road accident in 2007, after which he saved four lives by donating his heart, liver, pancreas and kidneys. His mother, Diane Taylor, has long campaigned for the change to a system of deemed consent and says she is immensely proud.
For me, the law change, what it will do is it will encourage people. The government isn't saying they own your organs. They're asking you to make your own decision and to think about it, share it with a loved one and register it. And that's what I set out right from the beginning to do. I never imagined that after it there would be a law named after my son. I can't even begin to describe how emotional and how proud, you know, both Daniel's dad and I are. It's huge, obviously there's two sides to it for me. I'm immensely proud. I said before, it gives me goosebumps just thinking that this law is going to be named after Daniel. Daniel wanted to help other people. We saw that in his memory book from people at school. To know that his law will go on and help people forever is just amazing. And also, I hope it gives hope to those waiting on the transplant list that the Isle of Man now is the same as Great Britain, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Jersey, Guernsey. It's not a law that's unique to the Isle of Man. It's not that the Isle of Man have just come up with this, but it's just hard to put into words, but just so proud.
That is Diane Taylor talking about Daniel's Law, named in honour of her son.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
One of the things specific on the police page is do take care if you're out and about. There are some icy stretches still around the island. We know that part of the mountain road between the Craigna Bar and Hilbury has reopened to traffic. The road surface there treated with salt and it is passable with care. The Craigna Bar back road also fully open and that's been treated with salt as well. But the road between Ramsey and the Craigna Bar is going to stay shut until around midday tomorrow. We'll have further updates on that. And we also know bus Vannin say because of the forecast going into this evening, it is going to cause some issues for roads and some of the housing estates, and they're going to be slippery and impassable. Therefore, their plan, if needs be, is to shorten some of the routes, and they are working with the DOI. Routes that might be affected will include Williston, Windermere Drive, Ballacrink and the top road of Anaka. They will be posting updates all throughout the evening on their social media.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
It's 21 minutes past five. Well, an Isle of Man student's currently taking part in a 115-kilometre ultramarathon along Douglas Promenade. It's all in aid of charity. 19-year-old Adam Horsey from Laxey has taken on the challenge as part of a fundraiser for the Teenage Cancer Trust. He's been talking to Darren Timpson.
You kind of get the option with the universities. They run a thing, kind of five charities that you can kind of help organise it with, and they give you a bit of support organising it with. One of them was Teenage Cancer Trust, and I was like, I'm still a teenager. It's something that definitely can happen to people, and I do know people who've had cancer in the past who were, you know, my own age, and so it seemed like a good charity to get involved with and involved for.
You've already done a couple of fundraisers already, haven't you?
Yeah, so I on the 28th I did a 24 hours of physical activity challenge. So I started at 9 p.m. and I finished at 9 p.m. on the 29th. And I was moving for the whole 24 hours, be it running, walking, cycling. I played badminton, went rock climbing. Just moved for the whole 24 hours. It was quite tiring.
And then obviously looking further on as well, you mentioned it a couple of times, you're climbing Kilimanjaro. Is that done through the university, that one?
Yeah, so that's actually organised by the university. There's a couple of other people who are also raising money for Teenage Cancer Trust also going on that.
What are your feelings? I mean, it's in August, isn't it? I think I read on your fundraiser. So obviously, yeah, it's still quite a while away. What's your feelings looking towards that? Or how are you planning on training as well, I suppose?
I'm really excited for it. I spent part of my summer in the Dolomites climbing mountains out there. And I'm also planning to do Mount Toubkal in Morocco, which is the highest mountain in North Africa, with one of my friends in March. And honestly, I'm really looking forward to it. I really enjoy hiking and stuff like that, and it's not a technical mountain whatsoever, so it's just a good challenge to kind of push yourself up.
Well, that is Adam Horsey, who was not put off by the weather today. He started in the early hours this morning, and in the past hour, Darren has been down to Douglas Prom to catch up with him.
Adam, it's 20 past four now. How's the day gone for you?
It's gone pretty quick, actually. The weather's been nice. Conditions aren't ideal, but yeah, I've had mates down all day, so kept busy.
Speaking of those conditions, obviously it's changed quite a lot throughout the day. Really icy and snowy this morning, and now really sludgy now. How has that impacted your run at all?
At the start, it was like skating a little bit. There were some nice patches of crunch, but the ice was a bit brutal. And then the sludge is actually quite nice because it's cooling my feet down a little bit.
A different kind of challenge for a 115-kilometre ultramarathon. You mentioned there you've had people running down with you today. Who's been here to join you?
I've had some colleagues, some friends, My brother and my dad have come down. Albert Johnson, the guy who ran 31 marathons in 31 days during December. Yeah, just good support all around.
And what does that mean to you to have that kind of support today?
It means a lot because it just shows that there are people who show up no matter what. And, you know, it's nice, get to speak to different people. Makes the day go by a bit quicker. It's good fun.
And how long left? How long do you have left? What time are you hoping to finish?
Hoping to finish about 7:30. So what's that? 3 hours?
Yeah, about 3 hours. And in terms of distance, how long have you got left?
I have 25 kilometers left.
And how's the body?
It's not too bad. Legs are getting a bit tired, but rest of the body's good. Just gotta keep my head in it and finish it off.
Perfect. Well, good luck.
Thanks very much.
What an incredible thing to do. There is a video of Adam on our Facebook page when he started out sort of earlier this morning. If you are around Douglas Prom at 7:30 tonight, do cheer him on. Darren's here now with the latest sports news.
Fast am I. Six teams progressed to the first round of the ECAP FA Cup on Saturday. Colby and Douglas Old Boys both caused upsets as they beat Canada Life Premier League sides Foxdale and Ramsey, respectively. The Arden and Drogheda Division 2 promotion hopefuls progressed after scoring two unanswered goals in extra time in the preliminary round. The competition's first round takes place on the 7th of February with Premier League leaders Corinthians and Division 2's top side Castletown to meet. Both sides had byes at the weekend. You can see the full fixtures at manxradio.com. Elsewhere, there was only two first team games at the weekend. Laxey beat St Mary's 2-1 in the Canada Life Premier League, while in Division 2, Castletown thrashed Douglas Royal 8-2. However, that wasn't the biggest result of the weekend, which instead came in the combination 1 as Peel put 16 goals past Union Mills. Staying with football, and Ireland youngster Freddie O'Donoghue's spell on loan at Scottish side Queen of the South has come to an end. O'Donoghue moved to the Scotland League One club in August last year and scored 3 goals in 20 appearances, but will now return to Carlisle. Queen of the South manager Peter Murphy said the 18-year-old is a young, enthusiastic player with real potential due to all of his attributes and willingness to work hard for the team. Not only was he a joy to work with, he was a real character and will be missed around the place. O'Donoghue signed his first professional contract for Carlisle before going out on loan. And in athletics, Isle of Man's Sarah Aston made a winning start to the new year in London yesterday. Sarah, who is based in the UK's capital, was crowned the winner of the Victoria Park Half Marathon women's category in just over 1 hour and 12 minutes.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. That is all from Update this evening. For the very latest in all tonight's top stories, you can go to the Manx Radio website. Do keep an eye on our social media if there's any travel updates later. Coming up next, it is Agenda with Phil Gorn. We'll be back at 5 tomorrow.